Welcome to From One Dad to Another, a podcast where I'll sit down and talk to other dads about the ups and downs of fatherhood, the ins and outs of what they've learnt through their journey, the pains that they may go through, and also the most joyous occasions. Thank you for listening. I'd love you to jump on to the Instagram from.onedadtoanother. Give us a follow, subscribe, review, anything that might help the podcast grow. Otherwise, jump on to powerstrengthvulnerability.com.au, and there's many ways on there to help out. Let's get into the show.
Am I doing the intro? Or... this is a great start.
This is great. We are. This is typical dad life where you don't communicate very well, and then we go, "What are we meant to do?"
And
we're not going to edit this out either. We're just going to go with
this
it.
Great.
Let's do the script first and then go into the intro.
Okay. Have you ever tried to fix a dodgy PowerPoint and almost zap yourself, Shane?
Mate, leave it to the pros. BTD Electrical and Data are the go-to for anything electrical or data-related in your home.
They sort it all. Wiring, data points, safety checks, so you don't have to fry yourself or your Wi-Fi.
There's a link in the show notes. BTD are hooking up our listeners with a solid service.
Big thanks to
BTD Electrical and Data. Keeping homes powered and podcast flowing.
I can't do that together with you.
I love the last part of that, podcast flowing. They are there. Bram's really helped us out with this to get this going, and we'll get another partner on board soon, and to just let listeners know that we put a lot of time and energy into this as a passion project, but we sort of mentioned at the start we'll do it fortnightly as a passion project, and if we got some partnerships in, we would look to go weekly in the second half of the year, and pretty close to there pending a few family circumstances. So it's good to be back today, and we're here to recap Joel's episode, which is one of Pete's good friends, and I got to learn a lot about him in the episode, which was fantastic. And that episode was recorded at the Inverloch SB Hotel down in Gippsland there, which was, incredible. I've actually seen, given it's just been school holidays, I've actually seen a few people that I know down at the hotel. So we're looking at a potential caravan or cabin. So there might be a new local for me at some stage as well, which is exciting.
Nah, it's a great pub. Very lucky to have that one.
Like you knew him going into the chat, mate, and listeners will have their own takeaways. But I think given and there's going to be a lot of listeners that would have known him, and things would be like probably surprising. What were some of your key takeaways?
So, like, we were even talking after we recorded the podcast, and there was a lot of that I didn't know, and I'm a close sort of friend to him. So, it's interesting that, and I think that's we're going into stereotypes again, but it's very typical of a male not really sharing those sort of details on it, or how it made them feel, or just probably the genuine fear that Joel, you could even hear it when he was talking about it. There was genuine fear and of the unknown. In the birth. So that was sort of one massive takeaway. And it's something that, like, it doesn't matter how much you read or go to the prenatal classes, and that can actually prepare you for that sort of experience. So that was sort of one thing I took out. Another thing he spoke about really well was sort of the different chapters. So like the chapter of him and Freya together, and then knowing that was sort of going to end, and then sort of looking forward to the future chapters with him and Reggie. And I nearly compare it to like Hugh Van Collenberg's piece of Different Seasons. Yeah. And not that Joel did this at all, but sometimes we nearly want to be in the next season before it's here.
Yeah.
And just, I think it was sort of more of a reflection of my own to sort of go, like, to be really present with where we are now. And I think Joel was really good at that. Like, he could tell there was nearly joy in what he's looking forward to doing, but he's loving where he is now.
Yeah. I think it was sort of like having met him for the first time, and I think he's so softly spoken, and there's this sense of calm about him. So that was really interesting to then see how he managed the quite traumatic and scary moments for such a calm person. And clearly, while he probably didn't paint the picture of what the external looked like, because he probably didn't know what his external was giving off. Only the other people around him would have known that. But internally, he was not calm at all. And not like he was extremely present because he had no, in a way, he was extremely present. In a way, he wasn't. He was very rational. And that it was really interesting to see him speak about the situation. I spoke to someone briefly this morning about the episode and said, like, I think these conversations are really important because it can be quite traumatic, the birthing experience for both people, both everyone in there. And everyone sees things differently. And I think we openly spoke about the fact that seeing your partner in excruciating pain is one of the worst things. I think as a dad, I've seen my kids in pain and all you want to do is take it away. And it's the same with my partner. Like you literally jump in front of a car. And I don't take that, mean that literally. You literally would run in front of a car if it meant saving them. Like, so it felt, you could sense that he had no control of the situation really.
Yeah, and it's becoming comfortable with not having that control. And like in probably all three of our births, there's been like really beautiful elements to birth as well. So it's not all just like unknown and I don't want to say trauma, but sometimes there can be elements of that, but then sometimes it can be like beautiful elements as well. Other thing that I had to sort of reflect on was sort of the whole time he was sort of referring to how himself and Freya were working together and like communicating, I suppose, where they were both at. And I thought that was just something that stood out to me. And I know him pretty well, so it's sort of, you know, it wasn't unexpected, but it just made me reflect
Probably one of the reasons you got him on, to be fair.
Yeah. And it made me sort of think, you know, there's things that I probably need to do better around just carving out time to still do stuff with your partner. Because once you do have kids, it's sort of, you have your routines, you have all this stuff, and it does revolve around your kids. And sometimes you forget that about like just the partner time, I suppose, like those date nights and things like that. And that is definitely something that I need to get better at, is carving out that time for Elise and I. So that was sort of one other thing that I took out of it.
You stole my thunder. You actually stole pretty much everything you just said, was exactly what I got out of it. The recognition and the communication from both parties to be able to have those really tough conversations. And I love that, you know, Freya must be this incredibly emotionally aware person. I haven't met her, but I'm assuming I'm correct there.
Yes.
Because for her to be able to say to Joel, you know, you need to go for a run, like that's going to make you a better person to be around, that's your place, and then you come back and you be the best version of you, be the most present version of you, rather than be here and not be present. I don't want that. And I think it's a great thing, but it's also like, okay, the person, in a nice way, the person you are is not present, is not here, you're actually useless to me like this. Go out, sort yourself out, come back and be here. And I think that's probably one of the biggest struggles as a parent. Joel spoke about it so eloquently, that you just want to be there, you want to help, you want to do everything. But the reality is, as a dad, and I think as a mum and just as a parent in general, is you just want to be there all the time to help. But if you're not, there's a difference between being there and being there. And by, you know, looking after yourself, self-care is that non-negotiable that allows you the time to be present, and just their ability to communicate it. As you mentioned, that's one of the best skills me and my wife have, but also one of the worst skills. Like, it's something we're continually working on, because we have a good ability sometimes to be like, you need to go, you have this room. But then there's times, sometimes you just get completely caught up in the life and the world that you exist in, and you forget to ask them or check in or tell them to go do the thing that makes them happy. And sometimes assuming is just what you kind of have to do because you don't have the time to do anything else. But then there's times when you're both tired where you probably still should check in. And I know you bring up, Benay Brown speaks about like coming in and like communicating on a really simple level of what have you got to give percentage wise. And that's a good way to then formulate a plan. It's like if I've got 15% and the other person's got 85%, it's like, or 30%, it might be like, well, I need you to bump your percentage up. Well, how can we bump that up? All right, you need to go for a walk or a run and come back half an hour, and that might bump it up to a 30% so you can give more. Or it's like, all right, well, as she mentions, it's all right, it's a nice takeaway in Moody's. Like it's, we're not parenting in the way where we're really present. We're there. It's time and cuddles and whatever it might be.
Yep. No, I love that, and I can relate to it so much. Like there's some nights where like we battle just about every night with Lacey with bedtimes, and it can be up to 2-3 hours just to get her to go to sleep. And some nights you just don't have it in you, and it's like, well, we've bought a massive king size bed, and sometimes it's just easier for it just to throw her in with us. And she's 7 now, but it's just you've got to pick your battles and look after yourself a bit too. Like if you're going to totally frazzle yourself just to get them to bed, they're going to get all upset and you're going to be all heightened. It's like, well, what's the point?
I think it's funny. It's probably linked into the last 3 episodes where it comes back to self-care and communication. And it probably will be a recurring thing right throughout the episodes to come, I'm sure of it.
You think of anything to do with like even like workplace stuff with leadership, you know, sporting stuff with coaching, leadership and parenting, one of the key pillars is communication. So I think if you can get better at how you communicate or pick up when you need to communicate, I think that it's just a good foundational piece.
We might have to get a communication expert who is a dad on at some stage.
That's a bit of a shout out, isn't
it? I'm on the hunt. I mean, there was lots of other stuff I got out of pod as well. Like just the chaos in the hospital. And obviously, I don't want to go into too much about their details. He spoke so eloquently about what is organized chaos. I think it takes a brave husband, dad, to actually speak about the trauma of and the beautifulness of birth. Because as you mentioned, it's not all trauma. There is beautiful moments in it, and they're equally as important to share. All aspects of it, in terms of the child, the husband, the wife, the birthing partner, whatever it might be, there's an experience in there which is tricky and uncoordinated at some stages. So it's definitely it's good to hear other men talk about their perspectives of that. And I think he opened up my eyes a lot to the fact that I probably need to have these conversations with other friends and just check in with them and how potentially not the details of their birthing experience, but how was it for them, and do they sit comfortably with it, and et cetera.
Yeah, definitely. And like I think Joel, we're going to hope to have him back on in the future and just check in to see how he's going with dad life. So that would be an ongoing one with Shane, I think.
Well, Joel. That's where it's funny because he spoke about the first aid course and like how it's just like you're always on alert with kids, and he's in that this stage where it is the first year, which is very challenging. But as you know, when they start walking and jumping and crawling around, it becomes a whole nother thing of when do I need to catch them and when do I need to let them fall, or when can I not catch them because I'm too far away from the fall. So it would be really interesting to hear part of his journey next year and into the future. So I think we need to get some good editing tools where we have like a ding or something to move on to the next topic, but we don't. So the next topic is a social media recap. So I'm going to throw to you here because this ties in one of your favorite questions, well, your favorite question and your favorite topic, which shows the maturity of your brain, which is fantastic.
Yep.
There's a drive-by and our challenge. So I want you to tell us the story of how karma hit you square in the face.
It did this week. It didn't just hit me. It punched me right in the nose. I accepted the challenge of the social media half an hour a day, which I'm not going to lie, I actually struggled with. I had the alert come up quite a lot that I was locked out of all my social media apps. So that was surprising. I thought half an hour, that's heaps. I'm not on it that much. But it popped up a lot. But I'll come back to that, talking about my struggle with social media bans this week. But I was outside on the weekend tinkering, and then I come in and was sitting. We've got sort of like a bench seat right next to a window with like sheer curtains, and I was sitting there on my phone scrolling through Instagram, and Beau was fluffing around behind me, just walking around the bench. I wasn't really paying any attention, wasn't present at all. And then I heard him sort of crawl off. I'm like, yep, righto. I'm still just zoning in on my phone. And then I hear Elise like screaming out. I'm like, oh, what's going on here? And I sort of got up and just sort of walked forward. I didn't look behind me at all. And I walked through the kitchen and then I looked up the hallway, and it was like this snail trail of, I'm going to say shit, up the hallway. And I'm like, oh no, what's happened here? I get to the next bit, and across the carpet, this snail trail of shit continued into our ensuite. And here's Beau with shit down both legs, nappy just exploded. And Elise was in the bathroom. She goes, what were you doing? And I'm like, I was on my phone. I didn't even know what was going on. So I've walked back. She's like, I'll deal with Beau. You go and deal with whatever's happened out there. So I'm walking back the night. It's just the carpet, just the hallway. And I get back into the dining room. Well, the sheer curtains, they had shit up them. All behind me. I don't know how I didn't smell it. All behind me. He must have been just jumping on his nappy that was just out on both sides. So then I had to get cleaned up, and I was like, well, this is an interesting one, social media story, and two, poo story, an epic poo story. So, yeah, that's how karma come and bit me square in the behind.
It's when you told me, I could not stop laughing. I was like, this is the best thing to happen to you, like just at this
week,
in the week that you're doing the challenge. It's just like, hey, be more present. Kids are around. If you don't, it will cost you, not just them.
It took me. I had to wash all the curtains. I had to mop. I had to clean walls, clean the carpet. It was just, it's been my most epic poo explosion. And Beau thought it was hilarious. He was laughing at me, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Shane's laughing at me. Beau's laughing at me. This is great for me. I still haven't quite got the humorous side of it just yet. But
it's one of those moments that you just don't feel empathy. Yeah.
No. But probably back to the social media side of the challenge.
Very good.
I was really surprised. And even I got locked out at one stage, and I was just sitting on the couch. It was like just before bed. I was having a cuppa, and I found myself scrolling my photos. And then I went, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much of a hold it sort of had on me. So I've left my restrictions in my settings. So I've sort of just left it how it is. So I suppose my challenge is just continuing, but I'm way more self-conscious about it now. And I'm sort of trying to like carve out times, like at the end of the day when I'm having, like right at the end of the day, I'm having a cuppa. I'll have a bit of a look if I'm not doing anything, or, we've finally got Lacey to bed or something.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I'm not sort of trying to do too much, unless it's like we were talking about when we set the challenge, it's business or I have to do a post or there's something. But that mindless scrolling, I didn't realize how much I was doing it and how much time it was sort of zapping up. So, that's how I found it. But yeah, I'm going to continue doing the with the settings, having it set to the half an hour a day. I'd like to get that probably better. I actually thought that was, you know, I thought, oh, this would be easy, but it was more challenging than I thought. How'd you go?
I completely agree. I think there was there's probably 2 days in the middle there. Like the first couple of days, I was quite motivated and quite disciplined in that because I had the motivation, like, this is a new challenge, I'm into it. And then they're like day 4 and 5, I was like, I reached that point where I'm like, oh, time has gone off. Like, you can't go in. You need to click a couple of buttons or change the settings. And I was just like, oh, crap. Okay. And I did similar thing. I was like, okay, what app can I open now? Like, what app can I scroll through now?
And then
I'm like, I don't know. You can just get off the couch or you can go do something. And so I found probably the hardest thing is, like, a couple of times I was timed out and then I would have a work thing to do, or like I would think of a blog and I was like, no, like, bad luck. Like, I was kind of like, you've got to save this till tomorrow to put it up. You've got to put it away and focus on it. And it kind of put me at that mindset where it's like, maybe even I've just got to just stay off it completely. If I've got something business related to do, I've got to do that. And then after that, throughout the day, I can scroll and make the time if I get to it. But I've got an app called Be Present, and I'm morning 4:30 a.m. till 8:15 a.m. I'm locked out of basically every app outside of 15 apps or something, like the emergency ones, maps, podcasts, messages, calls, and then same from 6:30 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. So I find myself going on to try and go on then, but it won't even let me get to that time where it's like you can go in there, like it's just completely blocked out. I would actually go into the app and change it. So that's been really helpful for me to not meet the 30 minutes more often. I'm going to continue it. I haven't changed my settings. I do a little bit on my computer for social media, so I'm probably cheating a little bit. But the goal would be there is to not even use it on my phone except for when I'm doing a post, and then when I'm on my computer checking something, that's my time. I'm keeping it going, but I'm also starting, and this is our topic this week, is exercise. I'm actually starting a new challenge. So I think I've spoken about this with people before recently. Before being a dad, I would just exercise whenever I felt like it, and it was just easy. I could just do it. And one of the things I've juggled the most is, where do I fit in? Where is it not selfish? Where is it selfish? Where is it important? Where is it not? And the juggling act of that has been really challenging. And I went back to a time where I was probably at my healthiest and my fittest, and I wasn't just fitting it in randomly. I was doing it at 5 o'clock every morning. And everyone's like, 5 o'clock, yep. And I get that. I don't like it at 5 o'clock. I start to eat up if you're tired. But it worked for me. So basically what I've set myself is a new challenge, and I'll explain the reasons and the benefits as well, the extra benefits that I've got on top of it is I'm now getting up at 5 o'clock every morning, and the first hour is centered around a walk, gym, breath work, and journaling. And it doesn't have to be all of them, and it can be one of them, it can be all four of them. It doesn't need to be any more than that. I had a couple of PT, personal training clients, at 6 o'clock this week. So those mornings I've got up at 5:30. And then basically the goal around this is to do all of my well-being things to start the day, to give me that natural dopamine hit where I don't want to go on social media, where I don't need to go on social media, where I don't need to eat the foods that I crave. And then I can sit down and have a nice breakfast. So I've been cooking mushrooms, broccoli on avocado toast with eggs every morning. And then it gives me about 30 to 60 minutes where I can basically help my family before they even get up. So get some potential lunches ready, breakfast ready, coffees ready, whatever it might be. And I haven't been great at that part yet because I'm still juggling the time of it. But essentially that's the added bonus, is that it gives me some good energy to be able to help everyone else, then leaves me feeling in a better space once I go to work that I've really helped my family. And the couple of times the kids have woken up early, so I've been there. So Alicia's been able to continue to sleep. Rather than me being asleep, she's woken up and she's had to get up. And the other benefit to that is It's actually been forcing me to go to bed at 7:30. So our 4-year-old sleeps in our bed. And basically, my wife has been had to sort of go to bed with him, or he goes to bed later, which isn't ideal. Basically, I've been going to bed at about 7:30, and we lie there and we read books until about 8 o'clock, and eventually goes to sleep. If I'm still like quite wide awake, I watch one TV show, which isn't ideal. I'd like to take that out. But through the transition period, it's not my goal to be getting off technology at that time of night. That's a future goal. My goal is to get my morning sorted, and then that will have the flow on effect. And it's already contributed to me eating better. It's contributed to me having a better work mentality till about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock throughout the day. So I just need to then process out the rest of it. So that's been my challenge, and I'm not imploring other people to take up that challenge. That's just what I know does work for me. It's just going to take some time, and it also helps the family in a massive way.
No, I like it. Sounds like a plan. I'm going to jump on board and try and do the walk part of a morning anyway. That's one thing for me. I've always, probably the last couple of years, struggled with exercise because I always sort of did football training.
Yeah.
And that was sort of my main, you know, I'd do that 2 nights a week and then play on the weekends. And for anyone who's got kids, football training, it runs from like 6 o'clock till 7:30. It is possibly the worst time of a night to be doing exercise.
Yep.
When you've got a family, when there's like bath, dinner, bed, pretty much routines. So generally I get home and I'm not real popular if I've gone to football training because I'm walking in and either they're late with the routine or Lacey just doesn't want to go to bed.
Yep.
And we're past that. She's overtired.
Yeah.
So when I do go, you sort of carry that guilt knowing that it's like, oh, I'm going to come back into a war zone with the kids. It's a challenging sort of thing. A while ago, I was walking every morning and I definitely noticed the benefits of doing that. So I think this challenge is just going to spark me back into getting back into that good routine that I had before, and the dog loved it too because I was taking the dog with me. So I look forward to this challenge, Shane.
But there's so many benefits like to it as well. Like, I think we all know that, but it's research is showing getting more sleep before 12 o'clock is better than getting more sleep after 12 o'clock. And natural body clocks are ready to go to bed at 7:30, 8 o'clock, but we sort of push past that and then we hold on. And I know as a parent, that's your time to kind of wind down as well, like once the kids go to bed. But the way I'm personally looking at that as it is, it's in a way, it's precious to have these moments where my son wants to cuddle me because at some stage it's not going to be there, and I'm going to have that opportunity to stay up and watch TV or whatnot. And then this really opens up my weekend where I don't have to exercise on the weekend. I'm just fully present. Maybe I get up 5:30, 6 o'clock on the weekend because my body clock's completely screwed now, and I can watch an hour or two of TV on the weekend. I can do that. I can binge and feel that without shame and without guilt. And then when my son wakes up, I switch it off and get going. So sons, I should say. I found that really helpful. I haven't spoken to my wife too much about it, so it'd be interesting to see. And the next question is, and this communication comes back to Joel and partner, is like, what can I do in that 45 minutes before everyone gets up that's helpful for you, where you're not in a rush to get everyone ready? Because I'm out. I've got clients at 7:30, 7 o'clock, 4 days of the week, 6 o'clock one of the days, and then I've got a business meeting at 7 o'clock on another day. So I'm out of the house really early. So what can I do in my 45 minutes where I'm getting my breakfast ready and eating and preparing for the day? What will help you make your day a little bit smoother because you've got the 3 kids. So I think it just kills so many birds. And then if you get home later in the day and you've been able to help your partner throughout the day, there's just not as much stress and pressure that you're walking into. There's a natural element to it. So now I've put it out to the world, I'm going to have to live up to it. But And there's going to be, I'm basically looking at doing this for about 4 weeks and then keeping it after that, but then adding on something else. So building the habits as we go. Yep. And that's essentially what
I'm guessing.
Going.
Like these challenges too, they're sort of probably trying to break habits that we've formed anyway.
Yeah.
So I think the challenges are going to be quite similar in the sense that we're going to do them and we might tweak them a bit to suit our lives, but there's something that we're just trying to break habits that I suppose we've formed over time. Last thing on the list, Shane, a dad celebration or something that's gone well. What do you got?
I want to share two quickly. One's to do with my dad, one's to do with my son. Call it celebration, call it whatever you want. So dad and I had a really good conversation the other day about my overthinking, my deep thinking, and I really expressed to him where my mind goes, and he's like, holy crap. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm not going to share it all now, but I shared in detail about where my mind goes. And I was like, you know, I could have easily been a drug addict or an alcoholic based on that. And he's like, yeah, you're right. And I was like, that was a really good validation to be like, yeah, what your mind, where your mind takes you is quite daunting. And it's not surprising for me. But then he also shared a story about when he was 10, 11, 12 that I'd never heard before. And that was a massive thing for me and that generational, I guess, dad sphere that we live in. If he probably didn't have the mechanisms to help me with it when I went through something similar as a young kid, whereas now I know his story, I know my story. When my kids go through that, I can then say, hey, you're not alone. Like, I've experienced that. Your grandpa's experienced that. And that's just really helpful. The other thing is, and it's worth mentioning, obviously, in the chat we had the other week, I shared that this year hasn't been the easiest with people being unconscious and unresponsive. And on the weekend, our son broke his foot. So we thought we were over hospitals for a little while, but we weren't. And I laugh and I joke because on the, I guess, the spectrum, a broken foot is nothing. And seeing kids unconscious and unresponsive is completely terrifying. Seeing someone with a broken foot who you then tell not to run or jump, and that's all he does since getting a cast on. And he's very clingy because of that, but he doesn't understand it. So the parenting win is definitely having the patience and the awareness to not run to, because my head tends to run to the worst case scenario. It was very much, this is a broken foot, it's okay. So my parenting win is being able to stay present and aware and conscious and see the lighter side of the two-year-old breaking his foot.
Yep. I did see that photo. I was wondering whether you were going to mention the broken foot in the house. I'm like, wow.
And everyone's like, oh, shit. And I'm like, nah, honestly, like, this is hilarious. Like, you should see this two-year-old. Our other two-year-old our four-year-old would have sat there as a two-year-old and not moved. This kid was like, as soon as the cast went on, it was like he got a license to do everything at 100 miles an hour. Like, before that, he wouldn't put any pressure on it. The cast went on, he's like running, jumping, falling off the couch, and then from probably 3 o'clock onwards in the afternoon, all he wants is someone to hold him because his foot's clearly stuffed. The doctor at the hospital did laugh when she said, I know what I'm about to say is not going to happen, but try not to let him run or jump. She just laughed.
So, it does. Like, I was in a moon boot for a while, and it gives you a false sense of, because you can't move it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't hurt. So then you start walking around, and like, we were building at the time, and I needed to finish some stormwater at the back, and I put a big plastic bag on it and just went out and started working. I was like, well, I'll just hobble around. And, like, it was probably the worst thing for it because I came in and it blew up like you wouldn't believe because I was doing too much on it. But, yeah, it's a funny story. My dad win probably for this week, we had all of Elise's sort of family over, which was, like, lots of nieces and nephews, and the kids were just running amok. And my backyard, I've got heaps of different things for them to do, and they're – it was just a really nice night. There was chalk all over the concrete out the back. They were playing like four square on the concrete. There was bikes. There was shenanigans everywhere. And it was just great. And everyone kept apologizing. They're leaving, like, we're leaving your house like a bomb's hit it in the backyard. I'm like, no, that's the why I've got it set up the way I've got it set up. Is I want everyone to come and enjoy themselves. And it was just so nice seeing all the kids playing. And yeah, it just really filled my cup. Like, I was like so happy when the night, well, I wasn't happy when the night was done, but it was just such a nice night. So that was my dad win for.
Beautiful. I love it. I got interrupted by a screaming 2-year old who's not happy.
I've got a dog that's probably been, you've probably here in the background.
Yeah. So, no, I think these beautiful moments are something we need to talk about as dads as well and sit around. And so, yeah, like always, we'd love people to send their dad wins in and we can share them, because I think if we can share 3 or 4 a week of other people's dad wins, it shows other people that they're not alone, and that gratitude can spread quite quickly, and the appreciation for the greater moments in between the challenging moments. We don't want this podcast to be all the doom and gloom. While it's going to have a level of that to create normal conversations, yeah, we want people to share. So that's it from me, mate. We'll work on our advertising scripts a little bit more in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was a shambles.
Yeah, but hey, the boys will love it. It's all in good fun. The two boys that have jumped on board, they just wanted to help get this out to the future. And I know we've got some plans to record in a proper studio with some of the guests, which helps. And hopefully we can do that in 2026 a lot more. And we've got plans for retreats and stuff like that. So people helping out this podcast allows it more listeners to hear it. And yeah, I spoke to a mum this morning of one of the listeners and shared to her about what we're doing. And she was just like, tell me more. She's like, this is just brilliant. And as I said to her, if we can help dads be better dads and better husbands, then everyone wins. No one loses in that situation. So if we can continue these conversations far and wide and to the point where we don't need to record something like this, and then that'd be great. It'll just be us chatting to each other and no one listening.
So. Nah, thanks, Shane.
Appreciate the listen to From One Dad to Another. If there's anything else you'd like to add, please email Shane Kelton at FOD2A.com.au.